It's called wokeness, and it's a plague. A plague that places tyranny before freedom, criminality over virtue, and hate over love. It's a plague that threatens what millions have died for.
Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be.
We will fight it. We will defeat it. We will eradicate it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
introducing the least woke man in America.
Hello, everybody, from the least woke man in America. Welcome to my podcast, where we continue fight for the truth, where we continue to fight against Proghelia, as I call it, the meatless, gunless, godless, abortion-filled, crime-ridden hellhole the left wants to create in the United States of America. Check out my most recent podcast, San Francisco being Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not far from the truth. Like I said in it, we don't need prophets anymore, like they had in the Bible, to warn us of what happens if we refute God's will. We have San Francisco, a crime-ridden dump. And it didn't have to be that way. Beautiful weather, beautiful buildings, great jobs. They still found a way to screw it up. And speaking of screwing things up, let's talk about Trump in Georgia and what's going on there. All right, so we are inundated with indictments. I saw a great meme the other day with Bill Murray. Remember Bill Murray in Groundhog's Day, where he's standing there? It's a classic, classic movie if you haven't seen it. And it said, of indictment day all over again. And it was so funny. And I think it's on the Never Woke Nation Facebook group, because that's what it feels like. It just non-stop indictments and Trump and indictments and Trump. Meanwhile, the big guy and his crack-loving prostitute purchasing son seem to go scot-free. Really incredible if you think about that. We've reached this level. So let's talk about Trump and Georgia specifically. I mean, I could do 6 hours of podcasting. I wouldn't do it. I'm in all the Trump indictments and all the details between documents, the document one, the January 6th one. Side note, what I find interesting is supposedly recently Barack Obama had lunch with Joe Biden, and they made sure the word got out, at least the Obama people did, that they talked about Trump and the 2024 election and how Biden should take him seriously and how Obama told Biden that Trump is definitely someone to take seriously, I guess what I'm trying to say, and they shouldn't discount. Well, wait a second. If Barack Obama is a lawyer and he has access, being a former president, he has access to great lawyers, why is he telling Joe Biden that if we're being told Trump is going to jail, Trump is guilty? Trump has no chance. There's just so much evidence that Trump really has no chance. There's no chance of appeal. There's no chance of going to the Supreme Court. Donald Trump is going to jail for life. And even as only his most fascist, ardent supporters are going to vote for him while he's in jail. And then Biden's going to go scot-free into the second term. Well, pump the brakes for a second. We're not even close to there yet. And to me, this is far from over. And the level of intensity of these indictments and how bad they want to go after him, doesn't that show you how much of a threat they consider him? So just things to think about. But the Georgia case specifically, if you don't know this, a lot of it revolves around one phone call, regardless of what they say. They love the phone call, recorded phone call, of Trump calling the Georgia election officials and saying, you guys got to find me some more votes, or can you find me some more votes? Well, the problem with that is we don't know what's going through Trump's mind. Is he saying, like so many elected people say on election night or the day after the election or the week after the election, because in many states, our election process is so sloppy and the rules are so crazy. Is he not saying, is there more votes laying around, absentee ballots? Is there things that you haven't counted yet? That takes place all over this country among Republicans, Democrats. I don't care if it's someone running for governor or senator, the local dog catcher. If the race is close, they look around and say, are the votes counted yet? Is this town in yet? Is this precinct in yet? Are the absentee? Can't somebody find me some votes? Are you telling me the personality types that win that run and win in American politics, the Kamala Harris types, the Nancy Pelosi types, the Peter Schiff types, say some of those same personalities, which are ubiquitous through American politics, have a close race on election night. They don't say to their advisors, they don't say to local people running elections, can you find me some votes? Finding votes and manufacturing votes or suppressing other people's votes are three different things. Finding means, are there ones out there we haven't counted yet? And that's why this podcast, if you can listen to it, this podcast is going to be like a exorcism to any far left friends, relatives. If you play this in a car right now and your spouse is a hard left wing Trump hater, you might see exorcism like traits taking place, spitting, convulsing, because that's a level of truth I'm trying to convey here. You won't see anywhere else because no one parses this stuff. It just becomes this big emotional orgasm with rage on both sides. But no one thinks, what is the intent of what Trump was trying to say in that phone call? And was he trying to manipulate? Was he trying to commit fraud? Or was he trying to make sure everything was counted? And was he trying to make sure everything was counted as a person who feels like they are in the process of being screwed? Because that was the context at the time. I don't want to mix cases together, but if you look at the Trump January 6th indictment that came out, where, by the way, his lawyers were labeled as co-conspirators, which I just happened to my friend's laugh because I watch some of the mainstream media. I still watch the 6:30 news sometimes where I record it. I mean, probably if you have a political podcast, you should watch the other side. So I was watching ABC News, David Muir. As usual, when anything Trump breaks, it goes quiet. There is a funeral-like atmosphere. There's just a sober atmosphere. Everyone talks slow. Everyone has a look of just pure concern, the type of concern you and I have if we hear about a seven-month old baby being aborted, if we find out that some nine-year-old had their genitals permanently changed because a public school teacher talked them into doing it. That level of concern that the non-sociopaths had for things like that, that's the level of concern that gets on the AB when they talk about Trump and these indictments. And it works. The bottom line is it works. That's what everyone misses, especially in MAGA, and especially on the Republican side. I know people don't like to hear it, but these elections come down to the Electoral College. They come down to the purple, quote-unquote, purple states. They come down a lot of times to a couple tens of thousands of voters, even though it's a country of 360 million, it comes down to that. And those people, swing voters, again, I know MAGA people, conservative people, Republican people, even people on the far left hate the idea of swing voters, independent voters. They think everybody should be on their side, lockstep. That is not the way this country works. So those swing voters, especially the 65 and over crowd, are watching David Muir. Everybody goes quiet. Everything becomes dire. That's the word I was looking for. And it's just pure, oh my God, this is all so serious. And there is no objectivity whatsoever. Because like what I'm saying with the co-conspirators thing, the door you open up in the real justice world, now that attorneys for someone are co-conspirators, and I've heard even liberal political pundits were talking about this, legal pundits were talking about this afterwards. My God, in the name of protecting America from the quote-unquote fascists, the door of fascism, they just opened now that attorneys advising their clients are co-conspirators. Are you kidding me? And frankly, and again, I'm not talking about Georgia now. I'm talking about the January 6th indictment, which is different than the document indictment. But so if you're Trump, this is the part no one thinks about. And again, I am not a Trump sycophant. People in my personal life who are hardcore Trump supporters get mad at me because I have ridiculed his policies and his personality, even though I really liked a lot of his policies over the years. So I'm not a Trump sycophant, but again, if he's a guy without a political background, without a legal background, being told by five attorneys that you've probably had fraud committed against you, how is that? And then he took steps and they became more angry and more defiant as he thought he was screwed out of the election of the president of the United States. I mean, how is that different than five oncologists telling you you have cancer? Eventually, you're going to believe that you had cancer and take action to fight the cancer. That's what I call what some of Trump did. I call it electoral self-defense. You know, in a real court, or the ones that we have still have left, you kill someone in self-defense, it's considered self-defense, then you're not in trouble because you're protecting yourself. Well, if Trump is being fed, whether it was true or not, you're being fed by attorneys and election experts that you were victim of fraud. And yes, white men, conservative Republican men, can be victims of crime, believe it or not, in this country. What else are you going to think? So, and that spewed into Georgia, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So then he made the phone call, obviously. And look, I know, again, if you're not a Trump Kool-Aid drinker, which I'm not, the lack of discipline, the impulsiveness does get old after a while. There's no denying it. Like the document situation, your classified document, regardless of story, it's like, oh my God, can we just get focused on beating the Democrats? Can we get focused on saving the country? We're literally fighting against a group of people who, without guilt, could tell people to double mask, to force them to get vaccines, to shut the country down, to shut states down, to tell you what to drive, what to eat, what you're allowed to say, what guns you're allowed to own, that you're not allowed to raise your own kids. That's the type of group that we're up against. And then Trump does these crazy things. And like, my God, this impaired us from winning elections, which is so critical because that's how the laws and policies are created. So if you look at it that way, it does get old after a while. But the problem with Trump is now we're in an area of emotional justice, as I call it. Screw the word social justice, social. You don't even hear that anymore. Now they moved on to woke, obviously. It's amazing that, you know, the left, they change mantras, like they changed their underwear. It was all social justice and Black Lives Matter, and now it's all wokeness, whatever. So we're in a period now of emotional justice where the first thing you do is look at the person's race, sex, what gender, one of the 53 genders that they are, how much money they have, what their politics are. And then we figure out how the intensity, how dire the situation is. Now you can say it's the exact opposite of justice with the woman with the blinders over his eyes. And I'd say you are exactly correct. And of course, the real sick people on the left will say, yeah, but that's what happened to, you know, Black people down south for decades, for a century. You know, the first thing they do is go in the courtroom and it's a Black man, he has no chance. Of course that was true. And it was terrible, un-American, not justice, but to anyone who has a modicum of common sense, decency, goodness, how in the world does a Black man in Alabama 80 years ago not being treated correctly, how does that get resolved by white people in America in 2023 inferior treatment when it comes to law, when it comes to jobs? It makes no sense to rational, objective, and most importantly, good people who want what's right and real done. It makes absolutely no sense. And you and I should not apologize for it. As I always say, on this podcast, I mean, they're dealing with sick people. They wanted everybody to tiptoe around the vaccine, tiptoe around genders, tiptoe around this, and they get away with it. They get away with a lot. Make no mistake. I saw recently a poll where atheists, and obviously they make up a very small percentage of the American population, the agnostics, people who usually have some type of humility to believe in a higher power, are not completely spiritually blind, make up a bigger percentage of the American public now than they ever have. So, but that's agnostic. There's a huge difference. They always say atheist / agnostic in polls. To me, that's always irritating. I mean, there's a big difference between atheist and agnostic, but staunch atheists who believe in no God. There's a survey done recently. They are more intense and more active in politics than evangelical Christians, believe it or not. So if that doesn't tell you something, I'll tell you right now, some of the nastiest thought feedback I get from the Never Woke Nation Facebook group and from my podcast comes from staunch God-hating atheists. You have got to see it to believe it. Sick stuff. And just to show you the what goes on, and in no means are non-converted fake hate-filled Christians just as bad, Of course they are. And that takes place too. I'm not naive, but at least I can admit it. So it is scary. We have opened the door into mob rule down, and everything to do with these Trump indictments shows that. And I don't know, you know, what's going to take place here, but we can't be discouraged, because really, I think that's what they want. I really think they want to be just mass discouragement, because they see how, and look at Jack Smith, tough Jack Smith. He's always got that tough look on his face. You know, he's just the one they push out. They're all hiding. I just see a picture of him with his tough face, and Chris Hayes and the rest of them, Joe Scarborough hiding behind him. Oh yeah, you go get him, Jack, tough Jack Smith. So we don't know what tough Jack Smith is going to come up with, but the whole thing is just a delusional, humanistic farce where they literally don't know how ridiculous they are. You got to remember, take, for example, the Russia-Ukraine situation. This is all you need to know about the left. Russia-Ukraine. What president, for the first time in decades, got NATO to increase their military spending? And by the way, NATO really has only one enemy, Russia. Do you think, really think, you could say all the former Russian Soviet republics who are Russians, do you think anybody cares about Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan? No, NATO has one enemy, Russia. There was one man who increased NATO's spending, Donald Trump. Some of those weapon systems and weapons that are being shipped to the front lines and used to kill Russians wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for Donald Trump, the man they spent tens of millions of dollars because he was Putin's puppet, supposedly. So when you take that mentality, the mentality of if someone's a healthy 25-year-old, they should virtually be forced to get the vaccine, even if you get the vaccine and you are still contagious. Tell that to a Democrat. They get like this puzzled, bewildered look on their face. Well, Fauci didn't tell you that, did he? No, you're too busy running around double masked. You should have been paying attention. Same people. So fake justice is scary. There's no doubt about it. That's the route, though, we opened as we've gone further into wokeness, right back to the 1960s, as we've become a more soft and tolerant society. Somehow that equated to everything is emotional. Not only is not everything emotional and not objective, the objective guy in the room is the bad guy, especially if he's a white male. And this has been warned about for decades now. Ben Shapiro has talked about it endlessly. Victor Davis Hanson, because just everything to do with Western culture. They want, as I always say, they want the fruits of Western culture. They want the wealth. They want the scientific and technological advancement. They want the unleashing of individual opportunity. They want the efficiency, the products that make our quality of life easier. They want all of that. But they also want this truth-hating, unobjective, emotional blob to dominate our politics and our policy. And a lot of this Trump indictment stuff reflects a lot of that. Did he do things wrong? I don't know. The evidence will come out. All I'm saying is there are some very left-oriented people, God bless them, who are left-oriented in their personal life and their politics, who are saying so much of this is exaggerated, manufactured nonsense. Just like Russia, the Democratic Party will get more out of this than $2 billion in political contributions. Mark my words. When David Muir starts with that dire indictments, and there's 72-year-old woman in Iowa is looking at that going, oh my God, you know, I really don't like abortion, and I love the military, and I think Biden probably doesn't even know what planet he's on most of the day, but boy, this stuff is really scary. This Trump is a nut. I mean, what are we going to do? Again, there you go. And now the people, again, what you should drive, how you should heat your house, what you're allowed to say, what gender your kid should be allowed to be, whether or not you should own a gun, list, break down the list, are affecting our politics and our policy. So something to think about. The Democrats, it's not like it's easy street for them either. You look at Joe Biden, a full blast criminal who doesn't know where he is, probably wearing adult diapers at this point. That's their candidate going into 2024. So we shall see. Until next time, I am the least woke man in America.